Hello, my name is Lika Gay and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. Though migration had been steadily increasing for years, that increase slowed down due to the crisis of 2008. Dimitrios Papadimitriou is the president of the Migration Policy Institute and the author of an article titled Migration Meets Slow Growth in the September issue of Finance and Development. In this podcast, he explains that the global movement of workers, as it has unfolded over the past decades, will change as the economic crisis continues in advanced economies. I began by asking Papadimitriou to describe the patterns of migration before the crisis.
If you talk to the average person on the street, and certainly if you spoke with policymakers in most places, let alone economists, the verdict would be fairly unanimous that migration is generally a positive economic and, in many instances, social and cultural force. Before the Great Recession and its aftermath, fundamentally, we had about 210 million people who lived in a country other than the one in which they were born. About two-thirds of these people were found in countries that were wealthy. The other third, the last third, was intra-less wealthy and poor country migration. And in the past 20 years or so, the growth of that migration, again going to the wealthy countries, from the less wealthy to the more wealthy, had practically doubled. So the expectation, if we were having this conversation in 2007, would be to simply project forward, you know, on the basis of the last 20 or 30 years and say that there would be much more migration, and most of that migration, overwhelmingly, would end up in places like East Asia, Western Europe, and North America and the other English-speaking countries.
So your thesis is that the global migration movement, as we know it, has started to change dramatically due to the current slow growth most countries are experiencing. What was the effect of the crisis on those patterns that you described earlier? How have they changed?
There has been very little growth in net migration to rich countries, dramatically different than the previous 20 years. But migration altogether, you know, has not really, you know, diminished. I mean, it continues to grow. It's just that the destinations are beginning to change. Migration will continue to be a significant force in advanced industrial societies, the wealthy countries. But that migration is likely to be more selective. Much of the migration that has taken place in the past 20 years and in the previous 100 years has not been particularly selective. Some countries have organized flows by creating a legal immigration system that tells people, whom do we accept, what do you have to do in order to get into our country, etc., etc. They tend to be the English-speaking countries, and among them, they tend to be countries that were created, grew, continue to grow, and have a commitment to migration. So they would be the former colonies, of course, you know, of the European powers, the United States, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, all of them very heavy users of immigration, of the immigration system, but also South Africa and other players. In Europe, however, migration to Europe happened much more haphazardly. The war had taken away almost an entire generation of young people. Their economy had turned around dramatically, and they needed people to fill jobs. So they went into the periphery of Europe, and they recruited millions of people. The expectation at the time was that these people would sort of rotate through the system, go into these places, stay 2 or 3 years, you know, go back to their countries, another sort of group of people would come, etc. But, you know, life has a tendency to sort of play games, you know, when we try to manage it and control it too much. So a lot of people stayed.
Why has the crisis sort of impacted migration flux so much? One would think that it would be actually very elastic and just go back to the way it was before.
Yes. So the new variable is very slow and in many instances continuing negative economic growth. It is one thing to have migration when there's economic growth. there is a different thing, an entirely different thing, to have significant numbers of migrants coming in when significant numbers of unemployed, native unemployed, you know, are sort of sitting there saying, what is going on? You know, I need a job. And countries are trying to figure out, you know, how to keep the doors open, because in the back of their mind, there is always an expectation that the economy will turn around. And when it turns around, you will always need more immigrants for jobs that natives cannot do. That tends to be at the high skill level. For jobs that natives do not want to do, they tend to be in the bottom half. And for doing jobs in places that people, you know, don't want to live any longer. And immigrants, of course, you know, are willing to go and work wherever it is that the jobs will be.
So the vulnerability of these immigrants in the current economic situation is in part due to the reluctance of people that are already in the country to sort of, you know, give them jobs. But are there any other reasons, perhaps reasons of education, of languages?
There's always an undercurrent of reaction to immigration. You know, there are political parties and demagogues, both of the left and the right, you know, tend to focus primarily on the right because they make the biggest noise, that have always been, you know, and I'm being kind here, highly skeptical about immigration for cultural reasons and all this other stuff. Very often, a very thinly veiled opposition to certain kinds of immigration. Give an example, you know, the case of the Netherlands. The Netherlands will have an election in early September. And in the last government, the anti-immigrant, particularly anti-Muslim immigrant party, held almost a quarter of all votes. When you have a party like that, that is this strong, even if the party is not part of the coalition that governs, you have to pay attention to what it is that they say. In fact, the current Dutch government fell because the party, that party, decided to withdraw its support of the government.
Taking stock of all of this, in this context of sluggish growth and, you know, slow recovery, what important areas should policymakers focus on to manage future flux of migration?
I think that, you know, one of the things that the policymakers should try to do during bad economic times, slow growth or whatever, is to make sure that they don't do anything stupid, anything extreme. Because at a certain point, you know, the crisis will be over. The people, the countries that will benefit are the ones that have not taken extreme measures, the ones that continue to invest into creating an environment where people feel welcome, where opportunities continue to exist without any discrimination, into basically doing a thing that governments nowadays don't do well enough, which is telling people why you're in the immigration business, in quote. What is the value of immigration? Why should you keep your doors open? You have to continue to make the case during the bad times in order to be prepared to take advantage of opportunities that will arise once the times become much better. In Europe, in Southern Europe, or in East Asia, in Korea, you know, including China, people are getting older. They are leaving the labor market. And they're going to be doing so in very large numbers over the next 20 years. By necessity, you know, many of these jobs will have to go to immigrants. The other major factor that's at this point still quite faint is that the direction of migration will begin to change. You know, we all keep focusing, you know, on the BRICS. The BRICS are sort of like the sexy part of the conversation. But your Mexicos, your Turkeys, you know, several African countries, the African continent did not get hit by the recession anywhere near the way that anybody else did. Of course, all of Southeast Asia that we don't pay attention to but has always been very active when it comes to regional migration flows. I think these places are going to mushroom, are going to be the next major migration hubs in the world. And we're going to see large numbers there, much larger than what we've seen.
This was Dimitrios Papadimitriou, president of the Migration Policy Institute, speaking on the future of global migration. And to hear more podcasts, log on to www.imf.org/podcasts.